He spent 30 years on Pennsylvania's death row until his death sentence was finally overturned in 2011, and imprisoned journalist Mumia Abu-Jamal has spent the better part of this past year fighting for his life again, but this time at the hands of the private health care providers that contract with the state's prison system. After a near-death experience at the hand of prison doctors earlier this year, Mumia's case will go before a federal judge this Friday. For more on this, we spoke with Noel Hanrahan, who's been the audio link between Mumia's voice and the outside world for the past few decades. I understand that Mumia gets a day in court on Friday, and it's a federal court.
You know, this is very historic. Mumia Abu-Jamal is going to be testifying by video at this hearing, and really his life is on the line. We are demanding in federal court life-saving hepatitis C treatment. There's a cure, and Mumia has been extraordinarily sick this year, and the disease is continuing to ravage his skin and his liver. And so we need the Department of Corrections to do this right now, and we are in court in Scranton on Friday.
Maybe give us a little history of his case, because this has been an ongoing problem, and there's been one neglect, you know, after another from the state.
So Mumia is like every black man in America, and he's also somewhat unique. So at times the state especially targets him, and at times it's just what happens in a culture that is so incredibly racist, that uses race and class and place as a way to control the population. I mean, everybody knows that we have the largest prison population in the world and that it dramatically affects everything. Now, for Mumia Abu-Jamal, he was a journalist in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, covering one of the most repressive regimes, the Frank Rizzo regime. It was really suppressing any level of black self-determination and consciousness. And they did target Mumia Abu-Jamal. So they targeted him in a lot of ways, economically, making him lose jobs when he was doing really great work. And he was targeted when he was arrested at the scene of a murder and charged with a murder, ultimately convicted. That was in 1981 and 1982. And he literally was framed. I mean, he was framed for this murder. He's innocent. He's been in prison for 34 years. He was on death row for 30 years. Yet many of your audience know of him, that he remained an incredibly prolific journalist. Mumia Abu-Jamal is the voice of the voiceless. He records and produces through prison radio commentaries every single week. He's the author of 8 books. So he's really somebody who defines what's happening in America, you know, in the last 30 years, the way in which all the work for progress and self-determination has been controlled by the regime, you know, really, literally, the capitalist American juggernaut does not only colonize people and conduct foreign wars. It conducts wars here to repress people.
And his illness was going on for a long time and not being treated, and ultimately almost killed him.
Yeah. You know, Mumia, there is no viable health care in prison. And Mumia has always known that. There's this amazing piece that he wrote way back in the 90s called Manny's Attempted Murder. And if you listen to that piece, you'll understand what Mumia's relationship to prison health care is. I mean, it's very, very disturbing what happens to people who require care in prison, who have emergency situations. So I always knew that if Mumia had an appendectomy, that he might die. That he might become septic, because I did not think that the prison was capable of responding to that kind of situation. So at one point, very early on, he had like what presented as gout, and it was very debilitating. He had a hard time walking. And so we developed a medical and a legal team to take care of him so that he felt like he had some options that were different than what the prison was prescribing. So we had him in touch with these doctors, and we had a legal team working on getting an independent medical exam for what was presenting like gout. That resolved, and Mumia then did not access healthcare. He didn't have the independent medical exam, but the team was in place. So when this medical crisis began, he had been sick for a while. He had open wounds, and he had this severe, severe skin rash. But it got to the point where he was in the infirmary, and people noticed that he was very sick. And so Pam Africa and Keith Cook went to see him and mobilized this response team. And so I was leading the medical response team to get in place the necessary tools to get Mumia healthcare and to make sure that they treated him in the emergency fashion that he needed.
So maybe you could describe some of the medical issues that arose over the course of this.
So they were trying to treat Mumia's skin rash with a topical steroid. That topical steroid, literally a side effect of it, is diabetes. And so Mumia had a diabetic reaction to the topical steroid. He had skin lesions and wounds and open wounds over 80% of his body. He was extraordinarily sick. So they applied this topical steroid. He immediately had a blood sugar spike. They noted it in the prison in his records that they should monitor it. Well, for you and I, they would have sent us to the hospital for a 400 level of blood sugar. But they said continue to monitor in his records and his charts in the infirmary. Well, they didn't continue to monitor his care. And 3 weeks later, without any monitoring, he went into diabetic shock. He fell out, luckily was transported to an outside hospital, and he was minutes from dying. He was in renal failure. So that hospital then shipped him back to the infirmary merely when he was stable, not after really any treatment or any diagnostic testing. Literally, they stabilized him and shipped him out of there. We went, that was like on March 30th and the first beginning of April, we went into full on real activist mode, and we demanded that he get a full diagnostic workup and get transferred to a tertiary care medical facility, which he did. So the lawyers then were demanding, engaging, working it, getting it done. And so we have been in that battle for the last 9 months. This is the culmination of that battle. We're at a hearing in federal court challenging the Department of Corrections' insistence that Mumia Abu-Jamal is not sick enough to get treatment for hepatitis C. He has active hepatitis C. There is a cure. There's a cure to hepatitis C, 90% cure rate, one pill a day for 12 weeks. And we believe that that is the medically indicated standard of care and that Mumia Abu-Jamal and all prisoners deserve that level of care.
And they've denied it.
Yes. I mean, in a way, it's good. I mean, they're unequivocal. They are completely denying Mumia Abu-Jamal any care for hepatitis C. When he went to the tertiary medical facility, it cost them $125,000. They did 5 biopsies, right? They did every test except the test for active hepatitis C because they didn't want to know. Because it's clear that there's an economic equation. They don't want to treat people because the capitalist corporation that owns the drug that is the cure is charging outrageous prices for it. So Gilead is charging like $84,000 for the course of treatment, for the 12-week treatment. Now, I believe that those prices will come down with generics. They'll come down with negotiations. They'll come down because people fight to have that cure. It's a medical public health imperative. This is the largest infectious disease in the country. It's affecting over 3 million people. Adversely affects people of color. 1 in 7 African-American men are hepatitis C positive. It's a silent disease. You can have it and not know it for 20 years. It actively affects and damages people's liver. So what's really important that for people to understand right now is that if Mumia Abu-Jamal does not get this care, he will have irreversible liver damage. They are allowing this disease to continue when they have a cure. And it's possible. I mean, he can get this care. The drug prices are going to come down. They're not going to have the excuse that they can't afford it. And it's a public health imperative. I don't care that the company Correct Care Solutions that got the contract to deliver health care for Pennsylvania prisoners is going to lose its shirt. I think, look, it's a public health imperative. We need to treat them like they're our brothers, like they're our sisters, like they're our mothers. They are our people, and they need adequate health care. Mumia also needs to be free, but and we're working really hard on that. Like, Mumia's escape plan is through the front door. I mean, we're going to get that man out. So, and it's because of you guys. I mean, it's not, it's true. Every little action matters. Every single act, every gift, every action, every time that you invoke Mumia's name and invoke freedom in the same breath, it means that we're closer to freedom.
The company that owns this drug paid $8 billion for it, and in the first year made 10. Is that right?
That's correct. So the chemist who solved the problem of treating and curing hepatitis C is Michael Sophia. He lives in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. He founded and worked for a company called Pharmastat. A couple years ago, this was in 2013, Pharmastat got bought by Gilead for like $8 billion. The first year that Gilead had this product, they made $10 billion. So they already made back what they paid for it. They're not, if they can't use the excuse that they're using this money to develop new drugs.
Right.
Also, just so people know, pressure works. The country of India went to Gilead and said, we're not going to honor any of your intellectual property. So you're going to come to us, and they got a deal where they're paying pennies for the drug. Same with Egypt. There's a front page article in the New York Times magazine that talks about Egypt has gotten the drugs from Gilead because they went to Gilead and said, we're going to make the, we're going to quickly, very quickly make the generic because Egypt had a vaccine delivery mechanism that involved needles that weren't sterilized. And so Egypt has the highest percentage of people with hepatitis C, very significant percentage of their population. And so they have a particular issue. So they went and said, look, you're going to license to this to us at a very low rate, pennies, or we're just going to bypass you altogether because it's a public health imperative. We need to treat our people. So pressure works. And the same happened with AIDS drugs, that the pressure on the AIDS drug companies to lower the prices absolutely worked. And that's going to happen in this case as well.
So what can people do to help move this along for on Mumia's behalf?
Get in touch with us. Any group that's working on Mumia's case, get in touch with them, stay in touch with them, look for the information. You can go to www.prisonradio.org. You can go to, we've set up a fundraising account, which really helps. If you give money, you'll get information. You'll be right on the cusp of everything if you give us your address. And a lot of ways you can do that. If you give $5, if you give $10. Hey, if you can give $1,000, it can make an enormous difference right now. So it's www.bit.ly/curehimnow. That's also a link from our website. You can go to our website and get that as well.
And that's at prisonradio.org.
That's right.
Noel Hanrahan, thank you very much.
Take good care.